Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only
Kevin Sampson. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Anytime. We love when you come in. Kevin's come in several times to talk the Rosebud Film Festival, a bunch of things he's got going on. But now I'm like super excited for this because I know this has been a huge passion project that has been in the works for, at least percolating in your mind for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So tell us about the DC Black Film Fest. How and why did you get this started?
So for me, I'm a film critic, as you know. We're both members of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. And so it started about 2014. So I got home after watching Think Like a Man 2. I loved Think Like a Man 1. The stakes were their heart. And in the second one, the follow-up, it was kind of the Kevin Hart show. And I think Kevin Hart is a great actor, but the stakes were like, who can throw the best party? Mm-hmm. And so it was really disappointing to me because I really enjoyed the first one. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, black cinema, we only get, a few, you know, let's call them black blusters each year. And so I went home and I wrote an open letter to black screenwriters. And just saying how we just need to see more of us on the big screen. And so from there, it was really cool because I was able to hear back from a lot of these screenwriters and directors and some people in the industry as well kind of chimed in. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do a documentary. You know, went to American University, got this MFA. Let me go ahead and use these skills. So I started a Kickstarter for a film called The Hollywood Blackout. Now, this film was supposed to, look at diversity and the lack thereof.
It's going to be a documentary, right?
Exactly. In Hollywood. And so, I said, hey, $30,000, that's what it's going to take to actually make this film, right? It's a Kickstarter, and that's kind of hard to actually get. So the Kickstarter was not successful. But from there, I said, you know what? Like, I've been directing, film festivals or a film festival already, Rosebud. Let me just bring, DC its first black film festival. So really, that's kind of the genesis of the festival.
But I love that because and that's Kevin Sampson right there. Whether it's a picture lock show at Arlington Independent Media or Rosebud Fest, I like that you're determined to get this off the ground. And I like that you turned what I guess could have been, let's say, a disappointment of yours with the documentary not coming through and turned it into something incredibly positive. And now this is officially here. It's getting here. We got to tell our listeners before we go any further when it is and where it is.
Yeah. So the DC Black Film Festival is taking place this week. Thursday, August 17th through Saturday, August 19th. It's going to be held right there in Southeast Washington, D.C. at the Miracle Theater. And some of our events are taking place right across the street at the Fridge, D.C.
Now, when he says Miracle Theater, this is my old neighborhood. So, this is Barracks Row. So plenty of options to go out and eat before or after the movie. In between a movie, you can pop out. But it's that theater there that used to be a movie theater. Then it became, I think, a church. And now it's a little of both, I think.
Right. So a church actually owns the theater. They still have services there. But they also run it as like second run films. So right now, I think they're playing Wonder Woman. This weekend, we're taking over. So I'm really excited about it. Shout out to the Miracle Theater.
Yeah. Right. Take that, Wonder Woman. No, that's so great. It's a Miracle Theater, but does it feel like a little mini miracle to get this thing off the ground? Like, take us, I guess, a little more into it.
Oh my goodness.
You gave us an idea of, like, when the idea, you were inspired to do it. But in terms of the actual momentum and logistics to launch it, what has gone into that part of it?
Yeah, so, half the time I want to throw up and I'm like, what am I doing? And the other time I'm like, we're making history. That's what we're doing. You got to go to the different venues. The Miracle Theater is awesome. It's I believe it's still a historic landmark in terms of, so it still has like a balcony. Mm-hmm. Great seating. And so it's really kind of a steal of a deal. I'm so glad that we're able to work with the folks over there. You gotta put it out on Film Freeway for the call for entries. Luckily, for this to be our first year festival, we had 125 entries, narrowed that down to 52 films that you're going to see this weekend. And I'm so excited that people are really kind of jumping in here and excited about it. But it does take a lot of work to get these things done. You got to have the volunteers. You got to plan out the events. You got to program everything. So yeah, it's intense on Sunday, like, or maybe Monday. That's when I probably will sleep for like 13 hours if possible. But
you got a while to go before then, my friend.
Right. it Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I definitely want to get into some of the movies you can see for sure. But before we do that, give me a little more idea of sort of where these 52 or even the 100 some submissions came from. Is it around the country, around the world, or where exactly? Are there some local options?
Yeah, through Film Freeway, which is one of those, you know, film festival aggregates, we were able to get, like I said, 125 films from across four continents. And so it's really, I think, America, a nation, you know, North America, we definitely had most of our submissions come from there, but we also had some from South America, you know, Europe, Africa. So it's really exciting to be able to see the films that are coming in. I mean, the thing about this festival, the way that the stipulation that I had for it is that at least one person from above the line had to be of African descent. So Jason, you know, but for, you know, the audience that's listening.
Above the line and below the line.
Right. Above the line means you had to have a director, writer, producer, or the actors, like main characters, had to be of African descent. So all I was trying to do is make sure that we have a diverse above the line crew, right? And only one person. So there's a lot of directors that are in the festival that are white. Mm-hmm. There's some films that you're going to watch and you're going to be like, okay, this seems like it's an all white cast, but the director and the writer were black, right? You know?
You gotta think it's the whole collaborative process.
Exactly. So really, that's what we're trying to do, is just go for the diversity and also exhibit these films, because they're out there. They're great stories. And I think that we need to see the diverse black experience on the big screen. I mean, that's certainly true for every ethnicity, right? Like, we want to see ourselves on the big screen because it in some ways kind of gives us validation. But at the same time, and this is what I think we're really going to accomplish this weekend, is that we're able to learn from other cultures. And so we have a lot of moments where you're going to be able to do that this weekend at the DC Black Film Festival.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's get into some of the movies.
Yeah.
Opening night. What's opening night bring us?
So opening night, I'm really excited about it. We're going to be doing films, and then we'll do a panel after. It's What is Black? So we're going to be analyzing the black experience through film. And so the film lineup that we have is really great, because if you look at it like subconsciously, it kind of brings us through the history of different things. So Zoo Volker Show is going to open it up, and this is by Manda Raquel Rebs, who is a DC filmmaker. And basically, she kind of highlights human zoos that took place in, it was 1958 in Brussels, I believe, in which they had Africans on display as human zoos. And so we'll go through these different films and kind of showing like the past history of like what has happened in our past to kind of make who we are today. It's not only is it like, you know, kind of some deep films. We have Two Steps Back from R. Kane Thomas. And that kind of is a doc about Brown versus Board. But then we also have some really funny stuff. Brandon Harrison, he has this Be Creative. And so it's like these little vignettes of kind of like, you know, the black experience. That's really kind of funny. But our featured film for that night is Am I, the film. It's Am I Too African to Be American or Too American to Be African? This is directed by Nadia Sasso. I saw this at another film festival, and afterwards I was like, I gotta have this film, you know, for our festival, because it really does a great job of kind of analyzing what it means to be like definitely of African descent, or like, you know, there's a lot of people within the film that are from Sierra Leone or Senegal, and the fact is that in their household, culturally, you know, it's African, but then when they step out, you know, here,
right,
it's like assimilating to being American. But then when you go back home, like, and so that juxtaposition,
like, yeah.
Exactly. It's pretty cool, because in her film, Issa Rae is actually in the film as well. And then, of course, we know she's doing big things in Hollywood with Insecure and all that stuff. But it's a really good time. After that, the panel is going to be led by Janelle Henry, who is a longtime producer in the news. And on our panel,
C-SPAN, maybe?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then she also has Districtly Speaking. And then on our panel, we have Love Naffy, excuse me. She's going to be representing the Am I film. But then Tim Gordon, you know,
Film Gordon,
president of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association, as well as the founder of the Black Reel Awards. He'll be on there. And Lucy Gebrey Xavier, she's a professor that's over at Nova, and also an Ethiopian filmmaker. So it's going to be a really good, rich conversation.
Remind us the theme of that panel.
What is black?
Okay.
So that's
Explain that a little more. What exactly are you guys, as you riff back and forth with the panel, what do you think? What themes do you expect to come up there?
The whole point is, like, what is black? Black is a color, but that are black people? Am I black? No, I'm brown. You know what I mean? Like, but what is that? And the I guess like the whole thesis is the fact that the black experience can't be pinned down to one thing. It's made up of many different things, but then also kind of covering like how we're depicted in film. So, I mean, I think it'll be a really rich conversation.
Awesome. You touched on this a little bit earlier, and I guess it makes sense to bring it in with what you just said about how you want to see yourself represented, a wider array of that represented on the screen. What sort of representation now, and like what kind of movies are made about the African American experience that you think are like almost too limited? Why you want to open it up? You know, how would you like to broaden that a little bit?
So, because my head is so full of DC Black Film Festival, like I can't think of specific examples right now, but that's okay because even what you just brought up, right? The thing is this, because we don't have as many films, right, where I said like we get like a good 4 or 5 maybe blockbusters throughout the year, the ones that we see kind of defined who we are in people's eyes, that's their only, you know, ability to see black people or whatever. And so it's more so about widening that scope. You know, Tyler Perry, there definitely are those truisms about our culture that come out through his films, but that's not necessarily everyone. I think that's the thing. Like the films like Moonlight, right? Like that was, not only was it definitely award worthy, but I think that also the film shine light on a part of our community that we don't see as much.
That's always been there, but no one ever made movie about that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it was done so well, and I think that Barry Jenkins really took his time, and I don't know if you like watch his interviews and stuff, but he's like really, like he's like us, like a film nerd.
I remember backstage at the Oscars, man. Totally.
Exactly. Totally. And so seeing films like that, you know, a part of the closing night panel, I guess we'll get to that, but 13th, Ava DuVernay's documentary really kind of...
If you haven't seen it, check it out on Netflix. It is powerful
stuff. Most definitely. And so it's like films that are kind of exposing these different issues. I think that, you know, I don't know, maybe that's me like in terms of being like the black advocate of film and stuff like that, but it's more about making sure that we see everything.
Right. A wider representation.
Exactly.
All right, awesome. Well, I'm sure if you want to continue that sort of conversation, head out to that opening panel, What is Black, on Thursday night, right?
Right.
Okay, well, let's move into Friday then.
So on Friday morning at the Miracle Theater, we're going to have two different film blocks. The first one is going to be the future. And so within this, it's kind of like films that showcase the future of film and young filmmakers that people should definitely check out. And so, you know, there's some really good stuff in there. It's a good bit of student films, which I think everybody will be very impressed with. But then like there's like some films that, you know, you got to go to a film festival to see. We got Haria Muhammad, who she's the executive director of the Black Film and TV Collective. She'll actually be doing our free workshop on Saturday. But their collective put together this web series called Keloid. And it's basically about a mother-son relationship in which the son has these powers, like telekinesis and all this kind of stuff. And he's trying to learn how to use them. It's really cool because it's like a sci-fi thing that in some ways could only be done like it is in this web series. And so we get to highlight that.
Is it more lighthearted telekinesis like Matilda? Or are we talking like Carrie? You know, is it scary telekinesis or what are we talking here?
It's in between,
okay,
right?
Okay.
Like, it's not scary. Okay. In fact, I just don't, you gotta come out to DC Black
see the
Film
movie.
Festival.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's a teenager that is coming into his powers.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so that makes
coming
it really
of age
cool.
In many ways.
Exactly.
All right, cool.
There's another one, Tastes Like Medicine. This is directed by Stephen Alexander Russell, and it's man, it's really, I enjoy it. It's really well done. A young man has a mental breakdown at his ex-lover's baby shower, which causes a rift in his reality. And the way that he goes about doing it is really cool. Powerful acting, all that good stuff. So that's the first film block on the future. Also, Love New York from our friend Deanna McMillan is going to be closing out that block.
Deanna?
Yeah, and we know that Deanna, you know, the Love New York got picked up by Issa Rae for her short film Sundays. Very funny movie. You definitely want to check that out. And then in the second block that day, we have The Struggle and the Triumph. So these are basically, you know, looking at life, just like the struggles of life, as well as the celebrations that we have. So we have some really great films there. There's one called Arc of Justice, and it traces the journey of New Communities Incorporated. And it's a story of like racial justice, community development, and perseverance in the face of enormous obstacles.
Is that a play on the King quote about how the arc of, what is it, the moral universe bends towards justice?
Okay, my man,
gotcha,
Jason.
Gotcha.
He knows a little.
No, I like how you title some of this.
right, exactly. We have another one that's really funny, Privilege Unhinged. This is directed by Londe Youssef. And it kind of deals with like what it's like being the black person in the workplace. And I've been in a situation like that where I'm the only black guy on the staff, and kind of what that feels like, what it's like. And then there's awesome documentary Making Sky Break. It's from Donnie Seals Jr. And basically it takes a look at artist Zoe. And so it's a really good thing to check out and see. And for that film block, that'll be ending at 5. And then that night, we're going to have our DC Black Film Festival social and party. So,
where's that going to be?
That's going to be across the street at the Fridge. Tickets are on sale, dcbff.org. You can check that out. But it's going to be really exciting because we'll start it out. We have two music videos that are part of the festival this year. So we're going to show those about 8:20. And then we're going to show some music videos from DC area artists.
Oh, cool.
And then we have DC artist Tia Day. She's going to be performing, as well as Luke James Schaefer. Both are incredible DC area artists, so we get to showcase that a bit, and then just network, have a good time.
So the music video, this is going to be at the party. The music videos will be playing sort of in the background.
Exactly. You know, this is like film, you know, music, yeah. Kind of chill, artsy vibe.
A little Warhol kind of thing. All right.
Exactly.
All right. No, I like it. All right. Maybe a little food, a little bit,
yeah,
hors d'oeuvres or something.
Man, let me tell you though, DC, gotta love DC. it is kind of hard to get a liquor license, We got Mixology coming out to do the bartending. Shout out to them. Nice. They're awesome folks. So it'll be a good time, man. It'll be
awesome.
A good time.
That's so cool. And that's only the first 2 days, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, right?
I know. all right, cool. Well, I guess that brings us to day three on Saturday, August 19th.
Saturday, man. This is it, man. We're closing things out. History has been made, and we're just going to hit that finishing line. So that morning, we have a film block at the Miracle Theater. It's called The District and the Law. So the first bit of that is going to be films from and about like DC filmmakers and about DC. Anthony Anderson's Anacostia web series, Emmy Award winning, from this area, will be playing that morning. So I'm really excited about that. We have this really cool doc from American University student Close to You, and it kind of focuses on the history and the future of U Street Corridor. And then, you know, everybody knows in this area, Chris Styles Bacon. Jamal Woods actually is the director of Washington Sound Museum. And so basically it's kind of a doc in which Chris Styles Bacon actually goes to Brazil and that exchange and how it kind of influences music. So I'm really excited about that. And then from there, we'll have a short intermission, and then we go into The Law. And so it's kind of a take on different films that deal with the law in certain ways. And so the first one we got is Lawman. It's directed by Matthew Gentile. You'll kind of recognize some of the faces in there, Tori Kittles, Lance Reddick. And it's like this old school Western throwback, but it's really dope. And then one that I think that will challenge a lot of people is Bill 229. So especially with, how things are right now in terms of politics, etc. And this film is directed by Maurice Simmons. A bill comes out And basically, it's separating black people and white people to different states. And so what happens is we focus on these two neighbors that are preparing to move, and they kind of discuss this whole thing. So it's really, I think, especially with the climate that we have right now, it's really poignant. It's a poignant piece. And I think that's some of the things that I really noticed this year with the film submissions is that art always, you know, imitates life. And that was something that was really kind of coming out. And we'll get into another film.
A very interesting year to start this.
Exactly. Police brutality and race. But again, this is why film festivals are important. It's a safe space in which we can view these films and then have a discussion after. The one other film that I got to mention is Stefan Bristol's See You Yesterday. Now, this is presented by Spike Lee himself. Stefan got the Spike Lee grant to be able to shoot it. He's a NYU student. This film is really cool. It's like a sci-fi film about two whiz kids that build a time machine, and they're trying to go back in time to stop the main character's brother from getting killed by a police officer.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a real great blend of genres. But again, we're also hitting some of those, social commentary themes.
Get Out showed that a genre, quote unquote, genre film can hit those themes. So,
exactly.
You know what I mean? So, that's really cool.
Exactly.
What's that one called?
That one's See You Yesterday. It actually did. It just ran at Black Star Film Festival, and I believe it was at American Black Film Festival in one of their shorts exhibits. It's really, really good film. So the other thing I didn't mention, we actually already sold out. So unfortunately for your listeners, they won't be able to get into it. But we have a free workshop we want to give back to the D.C. community, and it's a producer's panel. In which Haria, who I'd already talked about, she'll be leading that with Leslie Green, who used to work at the DC Film Office, but she has her own PR company, Golden Life Ventures. And so they'll be kind of talking about what now, like how to ensure that your film makes it past just being in the can post-production. So that's going to be really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end of the... We've take a deep breath.
We're at the finale, man. I know, Jason, you are so patient. I love it, man. You let me get all this stuff out, and I'm sure you're going to edit it down.
No, man. I can keep going. In fact, we will. Okay.
Closing night.
Yes, closing night.
All right. So, closing night, man. I'm really excited about this. The closing night films, we're going to be looking at making Black Lives Matter through film. And so all those films kind of deal with that. Now, we're starting it off. It's going to be a little bit heavy. It's this film called Junior. It's directed by Pearl Gluck. It started out as a one-woman act play. L.J. Stewart is the actress. Pearl actually went to the play. She saw it. She was like, yo, I have got to put this on film. And so it's a very unique film in which when we meet the main character, she's dealing with the loss of her son. Again, his life was cut down short by an off-duty police officer. And I don't want to give away what exactly the time is in her life, but it's one in which we don't get to see or we don't think about with the different news reports. Very powerful film. The way that she shot it, a lot like Birdman, one take. And this is a 28.
Actually one take or made to look like
like Birdman. You know how we do. But it's,
I mean, Birdman kind of spliced.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure there was one spot where we can kind of see that. But because it's all in one take, we have to be there. She's addressing you as the audience as she's talking about this. And so it's a really powerful film.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have both Pearl and LJ. They're going to be on our panel afterwards for that. And then, you know, because I got to break that up with some humor.
It's
a film called Compliance. It's directed by Brian Michael and Sarah Newton. And so it's a bunch of satirical shorts that kind of address, like, why do you comply to, you know, whether it's Eric Garner being, you know, killed and different things like that. And then in Lorton's Dark Room, it's directed by Karen Ruckman. This is another D.C. area filmmaker. It looks at D.C.'s Lorton Correctional Facility during the 1980s and their photography program. And so kind of looking at how, like, photography really helped to change these prisoners' lives. And so that's very exciting. And then page one. This one is really funny because with a lot of films, you know, one of the stereotypes is that the brother dies in the beginning. And so it's kind of like, well, what if the film becomes reality? And so this actor that has constantly been the one that's getting killed in the beginning, it becomes like the guy that like teaches people how not to die. So
right,
they start looking
he's
at
the expert. Yeah, in the, oh, that's so great.
So it's kind of like, how do we not die? How do you not? So
remind me of, have you seen Kumail Nanjiani in The Big Sick? Have you seen?
I haven't seen it yet.
He has this line that reminds me of. He's like, I'm always the guy that dies first in the horror movie. For me, the plot is I'm looking for the cat. The end. It's really fun. Anyway, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, so that one's directed by Don Hooper. And man, you know, again, I think it's gonna be a fantastic lineup of films that we have. And then I'll be moderating the panel. Like I said, we're gonna be talking about making Black Lives Matter through film. And so, like, you know, for me personally, sometimes like these things happen. And sure, I could go out and I could march or whatever. But for me as an artist, what I can do is start a film festival. Or make a movie, right? And so what I want to do is kind of accomplish, like, how can we make these films that educate? You know, Roger Ebert said that film is the ultimate empathy machine, right?
Right, because you get to sit in someone else's skin for 2 hours in the dark. Like,
right.
They get to vicariously live that.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. And so it's like, how can we show that Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, right? Right.
Of course.
Hands down, nobody's
yeah.
arguing
right,
that,
right?
But
it's not an either or.
Right.
That's,
exactly.
That's the thing people are going to get in their minds. You know?
Yeah. Thank you, Jason.
Well, come on. It's always posed as an either or. No.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway.
Yes. But
that's
but,
your retort. There you go. Say that.
Exactly. The fact that, like, obviously there's a disproportionate amount of black people that right. are getting killed right. By the police. That's an issue. That's a problem.
Yes.
So how
that
can
we
these...
should all care about.
Exactly. Thank you. And so how can we use our art to help people to see and experience, like we talked about in the beginning, the full black experience. So on that panel, lucky enough to have the cinematographer of 13th, Hans Charles.
Really?
Yeah, he's
going to
be sitting on the panel with us.
This is the Ava DuVernay doc we were talking about earlier. Wow.
Exactly. And then J. Wendell Gordon, he's the warrior lawyer out of Baltimore. And so I believe it's Corinne Gaines out of Baltimore, if you know that news story in terms of her being shot in her apartment, you know, child. So he is representing that family right now. So, you know, I'm tackling it from, you know, we got a filmmaker, the actress, and then cinematographer who's on an amazing documentary, and then also a lawyer that's in this battle right now. But then let's talk about, like, how can we use our art just to make a difference in the world? So, man, dude, I'm so excited about the whole entire weekend. I'm definitely excited about that conversation.
Absolutely. And not only is it like the perfect, DC is the perfect city to be having this.
Right.
In. And it's, why do you think it hasn't had a black film festival yet? You would think there would be one here. We got DC Shorts, we got, you know, Washington International, our friend Tony Gittins. Like, there's a lot of great film festivals around here.
Right.
Middleburg, everything, Washington West. But why till now? Why in 2017? That's
because,
crazy. That,
because Kevin Sampson had to come in and fill that gap, dude.
The Renaissance man had to come in. Yeah.
Exactly. And honestly, you know why? I'm not sure. I know that there has been some film festivals that, like, had film and theater, but nothing like that's right. exclusively, right. You know, for black people or people of African descent. So I'm really excited to be making history this week, Jason. Like, I am in the trenches right now. Like, after we get off of this, I'm going over to the theater. I got more work to do, and I'm praying that I get everything done before Thursday. People be patient with me. But ultimately, yeah. man, we're going to have an awesome time at the movies this weekend.
You said that you're making history, so I think a lot of it too is just capturing the moment and zeitgeist. And I can't think of, like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this, but I can't think of a more tumultuous, important time than all the mess that just went down. And to have this film festival come out right after that, I wanted to thank you for bringing this to us for that.
Dude,
on
man.
That level as well, you know?
No, thank you. You know, that in Charlottesville, I know you know what you're talking about, but yeah, so it's interesting. I was doing an interview with Anne Hornaday, you know, who we know from, and that was one of the things that she brought up, right? In light of Charlottesville this weekend and that tragedy, you know, this is why I feel like this film festival is very important, right? In terms of, we got to educate. So hate is learned. So, you know, I have my 3-year-old son, KJ, and my daughter, 5-year-old, Ella, and, you know, their friends are their friends. The fact that they're white, they don't really understand the concept of race. Like, my wife and I, Alex, shout out to you, babe, I love you. we try to teach them, hey, it doesn't matter the color of skin, like your friends are your friends, you know? And then again, like MLK, it's going to be the character. So this is taught. The only way that we can combat that is through love and then seeking to understand each other, right? So if I don't understand a particular subject or I fear the unknown, then that can really make me kind of lash out, right? So, you know, if I'm homophobic, right, if I don't talk with someone who's of the LGBTQ right. community, then I'm going to only go off of what I know.
Right.
Right? And so I need
and
to sit down.
That's why you see Moonlight.
Exactly. In the same way, like, you know, if what I see from black people are some of the, you know, maybe gangster music videos and I listen to rap all the time, but I'm never talking to somebody that's different than that or I don't see that different experience put up on the big screen, then that's going to shape my focus. Plus, whatever the history is, you know, like I said, like the first our first opening night, like the history of America, you right. know what I mean? So we just need places where we can sit down, talk, and seek to understand each other. It doesn't necessarily mean that you'll leave the conversation and your life has changed and all right. whatever, or that you change your vision. But at
the
least
the seeds planted, man.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So just plant some seeds. Yeah, and keep planting them, man. No, seriously. Yeah, I thank you so much for doing this. I know it's been a lot of hard work getting the festival going. And I got to say, I know if the people that are watching on the live stream can see it, but on the radio you can't see it. But I got to give a special shout out to the t-shirt design because it incorporates the DC flag with like the little stars at the top. But
right.
instead of the horizontal, it's a film strip.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing. Awesome, Kevin. Any other points you want
to
make?
First off, shout out to some of our sponsors.
Oh, yeah, we got to hit
The DC Office of Cable, Television, Film, Music, and Entertainment, Muriel Bowser 202 Creates. They are sponsoring our closing night event. The Art Institute of Washington, you guys are going to see some lovely programs their students design. So they sponsored our opening night films. And then Picture Lock PR, I don't know if you've heard of this company, but they're sponsoring our Friday night event. So I got to give a shout out to the sponsors. Why should you come out? First off, we have 52 spectacular films. We don't see enough diversity of film stories when we go out and, you know, go to the AMC theaters. Right. And film festivals is where you can find that. So you're going to get a lot of great, entertaining films. But I think this is just a poignant time in our history where something like this is needed. Again, film festivals allow us to watch films, think about it. When the lights go down, we're all one color. And then when the lights come up, we can talk about things. And so I think it's going to be a great time for that, great time for folks to learn at the panels, have that discussion going back and forth, as well as the educational opportunities on Saturday. So again, I'm really excited about it. DCBFF.org for tickets, information. Can't wait to see you out there. Come up to me. Tell me that you heard me on WTOP with my man Jason Fraley.
I love it. Well, that's once again my man Kevin Sampson with the DC Black Film Festival. Again, it's August 17th through the 19th at the Miracle Theater on Barracks Row, just right off the Eastern Market Metro. No excuse not to get down there. Thanks so much for coming in, man. This is great.
I appreciate you having me, Jason. Always a pleasure.